Hello and welcome to Choice and Control, a podcast celebrating the contribution that people with disabilities make to our communities. In this series, we are talking all things disability, social inclusion, and the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Throughout this series, you will also be hearing some great practical advice for making the most of your NDIS plan from local people accessing the scheme. This podcast series is brought to you by the team at Carers Queensland, NDIS Local Area Coordination Partner in the Community. I'm your host, Douglas Connor. Thank you for tuning in. Today on the show, we're actually lucky enough to chat with Uncle Willie Prince. Uncle Willie is a man of Kalkadoon heritage who was born on Waka Waka country on the Aboriginal mission at Cherbourg in the early 1960s. Throughout his life, Uncle Willie has been an ever-present in the Queensland disability activism scene and has fought for decades for a fair go for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with disability. In this episode, Willie and I chat about his life, his journey to independence, and his experiences as an Aboriginal man with a disability growing up in Brisbane. Well, Uncle Willie, thank you so much for taking the time today.
No worries.
Uncle, as I mentioned, you were born on Cherbourg, which for listeners who don't know, is an Aboriginal community in the South Burnett district of southeast Queensland. Cherbourg, formerly known as Baramba, was a place where Aboriginal people from all over Queensland were brought after being forcibly removed from their traditional land and communities. Willie, can you tell me a little bit about those early years for you on the mission and your eventual removal from community?
I was born in Cherbourg in 1960. It was at a time when the government of the day looked after and administered the lives of Aboriginal people living on missions. There was an issue with me. I was in and out of hospital on several occasions, 16 times, in fact, before my first birthday. And on one such occasion, became the attention of the state medical doctor. I sat down at the table and deliberated my future without my family being present. No one. These two men decided my future. And with a stroke of my pen, my life changed. And I was now the property of the government of the day.
So Willie, once the decision had been made then for you to be removed from your community there at Cherbourg, where were you taken to next?
I was then transferred to the Royal Children's Hospital for further assessment and deliberation or consultation as to why I was still getting sick. And I stayed there for a while. I was seen to by a visiting specialist from England. I had like a trophy on his belt, on his wall type of thing, you know, to actually sit down and try to figure out what was wrong with this poor baby.
And Willie, do you remember much of what life was like for you there and the time spent there at the Children's Hospital?
I got a file that I managed to obtain, and the file had information about me from the moment I was taken from Cherbourg. I had to get permission to go from one place to another. Wilfred Prince has permission to travel to here for his appointment and must be met at the other end and escorted back and forth. Even when I was a child, you know, there was a government official, you know, with me all the time.
And once you'd received treatment then in the hospital, Uncle Willie, what was the next step for you? Was there talk of a potential return to Cherbourg for you?
Still in the hands of the government of the day, and they didn't want me to go back to Cherbourg or anything like that. So they tried to adopt me out. Reading my file further, I found that my mother actually never signed release papers. Had she signed release papers, I would have been on the open market for adoption. And on one of those occasions, I did find out who was interested in me. I later found out it was the same doctor, English doctor, that diagnosed that was interested in me, take me back to England. So had my mother signed them, I would have been in England to this very day.
Wow. So your mum didn't sign the papers and you then weren't able to be adopted out. So what was next for you then?
As I mentioned, I was removed by the state medical doctor and transferred to the Royal Children's Hospital. And from there, I went straight to institution, to Xavier Home for Crippled Children.
And what was that experience like, Uncle Willie? I can imagine going from Cherbourg into an institution for children with disabilities must have been a big culture shock for you.
The home at the time was a mixture of young children with disabilities and children who were not able to fit into society. My life was controlled by the nuns who ran this home.
And at that time, Willie, were there any other Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander kids in the institution there with you?
My early years there weren't. I was the only Aboriginal child in the home. So therefore, I didn't even know about who I was or what I was, you know, that being Aboriginal. The only thing I knew that I had a disability.
And Willie, I've heard quite an interesting story about the way that you actually discovered the fact that you were from an Aboriginal background. I believe there was a number of years there in the institution that you actually weren't fully aware of your cultural background. Can you explain to me a little bit about how you came to realise where you were from?
I was in the playground with all the other kids, and we were just mucking around and stuff like that, you know, like kids do, and in the playground. And one of them mentioned to me that I was different. And I said to him, how's that? You know, he said, you're black. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And I just said to him, I'm no different than you. We're both in wheelchairs. Everyone, all the kids here in this playground are all in wheelchairs. So what makes me different? He still said, you're black. I mean, you're black. I didn't know what he was saying until one of the nuns explained it to me. I was told by a nun, not an Aboriginal, not a member of the Indigenous community, that I was black, an Aboriginal.
Willie, I really can't imagine how difficult that must have been to not be provided with that understanding of where you'd come from and where your cultural background was and where your family was from. So then you spent a couple of years then in the institution for kids with disability. After that, what was next for you?
I left the children's home when I was just coming onto my teens, and I went to another place called the Queensland Spastic Welfare League. As I grew older and wiser sort of thing, I left the Queensland Spastic Welfare League, and to my luck, the friends that I made while living at the hostel and at the spastic centre, as it was called back then, I became friends with some people, some of them. We then came up with the idea of, hey, how about if we all band together and live together, you know, so to speak. You know, so there were four of us with disabilities who rented a flat in the suburbs of New Farm. And I stayed there for quite some time. And they taught me independence, cooking, you know, all that type of thing, which I didn't really get much, you know, learning as I was growing up.
And after living, I guess, really in such controlled environments, you know, even from Cherbourg, having your life sort of administered to you by the government, and then in the hospital, and then in the institution, and in the next care home, it must have been an incredible feeling to get out into the community, live independently, and really make some decisions for yourself.
It gave me that sense of freedom. I could come and go. I got a room of my own. I got my own clothes I don't have to share. And I had responsibilities, you know. I had to think for myself instead of other people like the nuns and the government thinking for me.
Yeah.
Hard at first, because once I left that type of environment and suddenly thrashed out into the outside world, I really didn't know how to survive.
That's awesome, Uncle Willie. So you left the institution. You were now living independently with some of your friends, your peers. You were enjoying all that Brisbane had to offer. How did you go about getting started on your journey towards employment?
My first job actually was a process worker.
Right.
I was working in a sheltered workshop. At the time, I thought to myself, there must be something, you know, that I could do. So I started looking around. One of those things was selling newspapers in the Brisbane city area. I used to sell about 200 or 300 papers a day at 15 cents each. Then when I when I got a little bit tired of or lost an interest in selling newspapers, I then went to the CES, the Commonwealth Employment Service, in Fortitude Valley. So there wasn't really much going for people with disabilities. And I was at the CES. I fronted up there. I said, I was wondering if you could help me. I'm looking for a job. They took one look at me and said, oh, you got a disability. You might be better off speaking to a disability employment officer. I went down to the disability employment officer. That person took one look at me and said, I'm not quite sure we are able to help you. You're an Aboriginal, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's right. It might be helpful or useful if you speak to our Aboriginal employment officer. And from one desk to another, like a yo-yo, back and forth, no one was wanting to take the responsibility.
That's crazy. And how did you respond to that?
I got a bit annoyed, you know, going back and forth. And I said to myself, I'm an Aboriginal person first, and a person with a disability second. I pointed it out to the Aboriginal employment officer. Yeah, you're right. I think we can help you here. And it was while he was going through the job list, he found that there was a training job available. It was an employment scheme that puts Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in government jobs for 12 months. So I was placed at the State Library. The section that I worked in at the time was called the Public Libraries Division, and it was actually not far from where I lived at New Farm. I went there on the first day, spoke to to my boss, when can you start? And I said, tomorrow or next week, whenever you want me to. So that was right back in 1983. And I recently retired from work. I worked at the library for 33 years.
Among your various roles at the State Library, Willie, you worked for some time in the Cooral Dargan section, which is a place within the library that really celebrates Aboriginal culture and tells Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander stories. In your time there at the library, were you able to learn a little bit about your Aboriginal heritage?
I was in a position to actually find out a little bit about the culture and the people and where I was from, Cherbourg. I actually was born in Cherbourg, but my cultural heritage is Kalkadoon. Yeah. Kalkadoon being in Mount Isa. So I acknowledge myself as a Kalkadoon person. But I'm also, I was born on Waka Waka country, so I got two cultural heritage, being Kalkadoon and Waka Waka.
Willie, the National Disability Insurance Scheme arrived in Brisbane in 2018, and you were accepted and now receive support throughout the scheme. What impact has the support you received through the NDIS made to your life? I believe that you have been able to re-engage with some old passions.
Before my NDIS, the only support I had was through friends and family. I was mainly living independently in my own place. I'm going about my business. And it didn't really occur to me, you know, that I needed help, because I obviously used to being independent. As I grew older, my disability started to deteriorate a bit. When the NDIS came about, it gave me the opportunity to see if the NDIS was for me and how it was able to help me in my everyday living and an employment situation. I was still at work when I got the NDIS, and that helped me greatly at work. Instead of relying on work colleagues to do this, do that, it gave me the opportunity to do some of my passions that I've been so long thinking about, like you said, 10 pin bowling. I used to go 10 pin bowling a while back in my early days, and I hadn't bowled since. And getting back into bowling was really good for me because there was I was able to get out and about and meet people as well. Yeah.
Uncle, you were a founding member of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Disability Network of Queensland. Since 2005, the network has given Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders with disability in Queensland a platform to share their stories and to connect to others. Can you tell me a little bit about how that network got started?
The word disability in our community means many things. It doesn't particularly attain to one disability. You can have mental illness, you can have alcoholism, you can have a disability, you can be blind, you can be a person with a loss of limb. Disability in our community is many things. So it's very, very hard, you know, when you're actually trying to educate people about the issues that we face, because we have many. I got involved in the disability movement because of the fact is what happened to me as a child and during the time that I was growing up in an institution and being looked after by the government of the day, you know, being removed from family and culture. I joined the disability movement, you know, to understand, to learn more, and so I could tell people about my experience and endeavours and how my situation back then is able to influence some decision making of the day. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Disability Network was founded by three people purely out of the frustration that we all had. You know, we all had one thing in common that was being institutionalised. We're Aboriginal and a disability. And there was really no platform for people like us to speak, you know, and to be listened to.
Well, Uncle Willie, it's an absolutely incredible legacy for you to leave behind. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I always love the opportunity to listen to what you have to share, and you have a real gift for storytelling, which I'm sure our audience will enjoy as well. That's all for today, but I hope to catch up with you again soon. All the best.
No worries. You take care then.
Thanks, Uncle Willie.
Thank you.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Choice and Control, a Carers Queensland podcast. For more information about Carers Queensland, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or the Local Area Coordination Program, please connect with us online at carerscqueensland.com.au, or you can catch up with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarersQueenslandNDIS. We hope this podcast can become a place for people with disability to share their experiences and their stories. So if you have a story that you think we should know about, please contact us via the Carers Queensland Inquiries line at 1300 999 636 or via email at cq.inquiries@ndis.gov.au. Until next time, thanks for listening.